Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today's guest, my goodness, it is most certainly an exciting episode. We have a thought leader in matchmaking, but I think what's most interesting, you're going to hear a lot of great nuggets in today's show. I'm looking forward to leveling up, but my goodness, my favorite, spoiler alert, one of my favorite things about Lisa is that she is a third generation entrepreneur. This is such a special guest, Lisa Linkowski with Milestone Franchising. She is a master matchmaker franchise consultant with one of the largest franchise organizations in the world, IFPG. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Nick, and thank you for such a warm introduction. My goodness.
It's all about entrepreneurship, and you have lived entrepreneurship since even before you were born. You've been living entrepreneurship. You were born for entrepreneurship. My gosh, all joking aside, but being serious as well, I have a lot of admiration for your family and you being third generation. That is incredible. But I do want to ask you a question. My goodness, so many folks think about franchising, and frankly, they don't even know what to think when it comes to franchising. In most cases, people can relate to McDonald's or Burger King. The reality is that just about anything can be franchised. If it makes money, if it brings value, if it's ethical, it can be franchised. That's the exciting part about franchising. But nobody necessarily raises their hand, right, Lisa, and says, oh, I'm getting into franchising. Franchising has this interesting way of finding you. Curious, Lisa, how did franchising find you?
Great question, Nick. And I'll give you the short abridged version so we don't put anyone to sleep here. But I never wanted to be a business owner. It was not anything I had any interest in. I came from, my grandfather had a business that my father then took over. And my brother and I ran into the corporate space as fast as we could away from it. Like, we didn't want to take it over. We didn't have interest in it. It's really hard. We watched. It was a famine, not real feast. Like, it was a difficult, difficult arena. And it was the lure of corporate America called us, and you get caught in those trappings of it, right? Like, you just get very comfortable and complacent. And then the last 10 years of my corporate journey, I realized that I was far more entrepreneurial in spirit, and that I had a curiosity about the business far more than my colleagues. I wanted to know every aspect of the business. I was excited about management meetings, and I wanted to hear from every department. And that's not normal. That's not a typical thing in the corporate space. You come in, you do your job, and you leave, right? You have an issue, you throw it at someone else, hope it gets fixed. You know, that's it. That wasn't me. I wanted to know, well, how did it get fixed? And what caused the problem in the first place? And I look back at all of that now, and I'm like, okay, I was in the quintessential career T, where my career had changed and I was really done with corporate America, and I didn't know that I was done with it. And then I received in the mail a direct mail mailing called Birthday Pack. And it said, "Happy birthday, Lisa." And it featured high-end gift cards to different restaurants in my area and boutiques and spas, and my background's marketing. And I was like, ooh, I love this. I get what they're doing with this. Like, I totally understand. It was well done. It was beautiful. I dusted off my resume, sent it to them, and they called, the CEO called me the next day and said, "We're not hiring, but this is going to be a franchise. Would you be interested?" And Nick, I wrinkled my nose. Thankfully, it was not via Zoom. It was via phone. I wrinkled my nose and I went, franchising. And that stuck with me forever, because I don't know why I had that visceral reaction, except because of the unknown. I didn't know anyone that owned a franchise. It was this enigma that you knew it existed, you knew it was there, but that was the end. That was the extent of my knowledge. And here someone's asking me, like, they're telling me that this is going to be a franchise. Well, I went to my husband. I said, this literally landed in my lap. Literally, it came in my mailbox. They weren't soliciting me for a franchise. It was the concept. It was this direct mail piece. And I said, if I don't research it, I'm going to regret it for the rest of my life. And he said, go forth and do what you've got to do. I went to them with 80 questions. I'm type A. And they had been really working the business for 5 years. They answered everything because they knew exactly what they were doing and they were ready. They were ready to launch. And so at the end of it, they said, well, we don't have this thing called an FDD, which I didn't know what an FDD is. I didn't know what a franchise advisor is. And they said, it's not going to be ready until the springtime. And this was the fall. And I said, well, could I become like an independent contractor and do this on an independent contractor basis until this FDD thing gets up and running? And they agreed. And that's how I ended up becoming the first franchisee for a company called Birthday Pack. Wow. And I didn't know what it meant to be the first in something either. And I then took this on. I created a franchise advisory because I was the first. I did all the validation. I did trainings, mentoring, coaching, like the whole thing, trying to help get this going across the country. And it did. And it was great. And it was amazing. And I loved my franchise. I was their best cheerleader. And so I was their best first. We had our scrapes. We had our issues, but it was a great experience.
That's so inspirational. And not a lot of folks have an experience like that, being the first franchise owner of a franchise organization. You said that pretty quickly, but the reality of that is quite inspirational and just tells me so much about you. You are clearly an entrepreneur. I told you guys we have an incredible entrepreneur on the show. And so I'm just curious, most folks, when they are learning how to be an entrepreneur, for so long, you're told what to do. And you don't have to come up with the idea and then execute on it. You're a part of the process, the system for what's in play. And that is critical and such an important part of an organization. But once you put on the entrepreneur hat, you have a first-time decision-making. And like any ordinary person, when you're doing something for the first time and there is weight behind that, it means something, get a little bit of the spidey senses going on, and the stomach is you get in the butterflies, and yeah, you start navigating fear. I'm just curious, being the first franchise owner in an organization, meaning that, hey, the first time that anyone's become an owner, you're helping us prove out and standardize, and there's going to be some bottlenecks in the business, and that's to be expected, and we're going to work on them together. Therefore, just tells me that at that time you were very entrepreneurial, and that also tells me that you're pretty good at making decisions and executing despite fear, turning fear into execution. I know, think back to that time frame, but if you could put yourself back then, could you speak to fear and how you navigated it? That had to have been a challenge.
I went full steam ahead, Nick. I tell people that sometimes franchising talk about you got to drink the Kool-Aid, right? And we say it jesting, but there's a seriousness to it at the same time. And this concept went right into my veins. Like, I just became so excited about it. I couldn't think about anything else. I was so passionate. Like, we talk about passion. We talk about all of that. And I genuinely didn't have any fear. Like, I had an unhealthy lack of fear. I'm going to say it to you that way. Like, I was just so excited because I had a marketing background. This was a marketing product. It was going to give me the lifestyle that I needed at the time. My kids were younger. I didn't want that corporate America drudgery of those hours and people looking at me because I left for 30 minutes to go see my kid in a Halloween parade. And now they're judging me because I left, even though I got there at 7 in the morning and I left at 7 o'clock at night. Oh, did you see Lisa? She left, you know, to go to her. I didn't want any of that. I was done. And it was going to afford me the ability to be exactly what I needed to be at that time in my life, as a wife, as a mom, and as a professional person. I didn't have a huge amount of fear until after I had signed the FDD, and I was very fortunate that the stars had aligned. My personal attorney, his partner happened to be a franchise attorney, and he was like one of the best out there. And he took the FDD and did a whole bunch of stuff to it that made my life so much even better. I didn't even know to work with a franchise attorney, but I somehow asked my personal attorney, I'm like, I've got this thing. Do you know anyone? And he was like, oh yeah, my partner. I'm like, oh, thank goodness. Like, woo, whew. Like, I didn't even know, right? But then after I'd signed the FDD, months went by, and this was a cold calling business. Like, you were in the car, driving around, knocking on doors. That's what this job was. And you had to secure advertisement placement within this mailer. This was get up, be rejected, knock on doors, have people not show up, reject you, start all over again. I had no issue with that. Everything was great. I had a great business within 6 months already up and running. But then one day I had lost several clients like in a row, like within like a week or 2 weeks time. And it was really hard to get them on in the first place. And now I just lost like several. And I woke my husband up in the middle of the night. I'm like, honey. He was like, what? And I'm like, are you going to like leave me if this whole thing tanks? Like, what's going to happen here? Because I realized I kind of just bulldozed him through this. Like, I didn't.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Like, he was like, go do what you got to do. But I kind of just, and he was like, you're lucky that it's Saturday morning. Go back to sleep. You're going to be fine. And once he said that to me, that was the biggest fear. Like, I was just like, what happens if this fails? And once he said that to me, it took that burden off of me and I then flew, and that was the end. That was my only time that I really like was like, ugh, because everything up until that moment, everything had gone great. But it's like what we talk about, epic highs and gut-wrenching lows. That's business ownership.
And hey, look, it took this moment where you faced your fears. And it sounds like a huge breakthrough happened. You never turned back and you had reached a moment of a ceiling. You had a dream big enough that intimidated you. And when you actually leaned in and clarified where that was coming from, it was as straightforward as, you're lucky it's Saturday morning. You're going to be fine.
Let me go back to sleep, please.
Yeah.
I'm lucky because I had a spouse that was encouraging and that believed in me. And that's why it's so important. And that was one of my biggest, I had so many takeaways as a franchise owner, but having that support, I state that to every one of my candidates. Like, you've got to have that support, whether they're working in it or not. you've got to have that because you're a partner. Like you've got a partner and you want them to be a part of this. Yeah, that was a really big lesson.
I always say, like, look, you should challenge yourself. You should build a dream. You should have a vision big enough to create an empire that is intimidating, that intimidates you a little bit. Not that's irresponsible, but that challenges you, that wakes you up in the middle of the night, right? And you have those moments where you level up. And it's this relationship, this sweet relationship with fear, because you start to realize that, oh, okay, there you are again, my friend, right? I recognize you. And okay, you're telling me something, but ultimately you're validating. And if I'm a high-performing entrepreneur, I'm going to start sniffing around that, recognizing that there's opportunity here, right? Or I am breaking a ceiling and doing something that I haven't navigated, that gives me a little bit of the butterflies. It's exciting, exhilarating. And of course, it is not in the framework of gambling, but is with a sound, confident mind around, hey, look, I get this, right? This matches my skills and my values. And this is certainly the culture that's right for me. But okay, there is a first for this, a first for that, a first for this. And a lot of folks blow through all of those firsts and get onto the other side of entrepreneurship like you did, and then meet fear. And so again, such an inspirational story. And you can look back on it and talk about it with such ease. And all these things, again, let me remind you, has high performance written all over it, Lisa. I told you guys this was going to be an exciting show, but I want to speed it up a little bit here. You eventually found a franchise consulting firm. Can you tell us a little bit about that? How did you get into it? Why? What's the meaning behind the name?
Sure. I had my business going wonderfully for 6 years. And my goal, because I always have a business plan, and my goal was to begin selling it year 7, year 8. I thought it's going to take a year, year and a half to sell this business. My business was on autopilot at that point. It was a set it and forget it business at that point where people want it immediately. That doesn't happen, folks. But as you build it and it goes, and I had the third largest territory in the country, I was a multi-unit owner. As time went on, less and less time was needed on the business. And I was spending so much time in the franchise and doing stuff within the franchise. And I thought, I really love this. I love helping others. Whatever my next act is, it needs to be this, right? And that's what I really wanted to set my sights on. Well, in March 2020, this small little pandemic took place across the entire globe. And did I mention that my clients were high-end restaurants, high-end spas, and small boutiques? And I'm located in the northeast of this United States of America, where we were buttoned up extremely tight for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And our whole system went down, put, gone. Overnight, seemingly, I lost my business and I lost all the other franchisees that I'd helped to get into their business and get their business up and running. And it all just kind of collapsed in on top of us. And it was devastating, beyond devastating. Yeah. And it's a very long story, but I ended up getting tapped by Don Duskowski, who is the founder of IFPG. And he said, you need to look into becoming a franchise consultant.
Wow.
And I was angry and bitter and sad. And I was going through all the stages of grief. And I'm like, Don, I can't. I just lost my business. I can't even think about starting another business. And he said, this is the time, Lisa. He said, franchising is going through the roof. And he goes, this is the time. And he was like, this is when you should look at it. And I hemmed and I hawed. And it was right about now, give or take, that I had a conversation with Red Boswell, the CEO of IFPG 4 years ago. And he was like, what is your hesitation? And I said, we're buttoned up here. Like, I don't know. I just can't. And he was like, snap out of it. Like the rest of the country isn't like this. I'm in Texas. Gyms are open. Like franchises are being sold left and right. Like, you're missing out on such a great opportunity. And I woke up and a dear friend of mine said, everything that's happened to you up until this point has led to this moment. Milestone franchising, milestones are super important into what comes next. What's next in our life, right? And so this was a pivotal moment for me that I lost my business. I'm going to start a second business in the throes of a pandemic, right? And I thought, okay, I sat there watching people in my franchise not do well. I watched them and I understood what caused them not to do well. And now if I can lead them into a new space, into a new, doing it safely, doing it by an education, because a lot of people just come into this haphazardly. They don't know what they're getting into and they're not, they know, they think they know what it is, but they really don't. And I thought, if I can shine a light on that, then that's what I'm going to do. 4 years ago, that's when Milestone Franchising was born. And it's crazy. And I look back at how all of it has happened. It's exactly how it was meant to be happening. It was exactly how it was meant to be happening. And I, as a franchise advisor, am such a trusted source for people that I had a franchise. I lost my business, right? Like, I'm very cautious and careful with my candidates always because of that, because it's not easy. It's not fun. And you don't know what's going to come around the corner. In this event, it was a once in a lifetime pandemic, but life happens, Nick. Family members get sick. Different things happen that are outside of your control, et cetera. Having to be able to say my story and tell people that, I think really resonates with those that are on the other side of this.
Right. I told you guys this was going to be great, but you had shared that you were inspired to shine light on doing franchising in a way that sets up folks to participate in one of the greatest wealth generating platforms known to humanity, which is franchising. But you obviously want to be diligent and responsible about business ownership. To your point, it's not easy. It takes skill. It is not an ATM. It does not print money. And my goodness, Lisa, you have lived a life and your family has lived a life of entrepreneurship. As you can see, when I mentioned High Performer, she did mention Dawn and Red. You know, that's the leadership at IFPG. And you know, when you have leadership like that and your background and expertise, my goodness, that makes for some high-performing matchmaking. And what's exciting about that and why I'm smiling, it's all about entrepreneurship. And it's been life-changing in your life and throughout your family, in my life as well. You know, I share the same passions and franchising. I started scaling in 2020. I had been preparing to franchise for quite some time leading up to that. And here is the year to scale and the pandemic hits. And what's required is making a decision despite all the unknown, all of the uncertainty. But, you know, when you have a vision that is beyond yourself, it compels you to execute despite the unknown, the uncertainty. Granted, obviously, that strategy of executing in 2020 was well thought out with a lot of great advisors and teammates. And you know, again, it wasn't done in blind luck or gambling, but it certainly did require executing despite fear. And it sounded like you were doing the same. And Red called you and said, hey, what are you doing? There's a huge opportunity here. I know that it's involving a lot of change in your life, but here's your opportunity to participate in entrepreneurship. My goodness, again, thanks for sharing your story. It's certainly been inspiring. As you're shedding light, would you mind elaborating on, you know, let's say, what do you look for in best practices around brands that you recommend that will set your clients up for success?
Very good question, Nick. And yeah, you came into the scene at the same time that I did. And I remember vividly when lime painting, like when I learned about lime painting, just for the audience sake, that because I'm part of IFPG, I have access to 500 plus different franchise concepts. And that's a lot. It's a lot to sit there and figure out and to understand. And so my first 6 months when I became an advisor, all I did was study and analyze all the franchises that I represented. And I did something like 80 one-on-ones with different Zoors for different concepts that I thought were of interest to me for one reason or another, started figuring out the questions to ask that I really wanted to hone in on. IFPG gives us webinars every day at 11 o'clock. They're called impact sessions, where we get to hear about different franchises every day of the week. And so learning and absorbing, and that's all I did for, I think it was 6 months. I just absorbed and learned as much as I possibly could, because I'm like, how am I going to talk about this with other people? And I don't even know what the heck I'm talking about. Like, I need to know this. And that's what I did. And then I started hearing things that I liked or things that I didn't like as a franchisee. Like, I took as a franchisee myself, like, I would ask different things. Like, one of the questions I asked was, you know, what did you do for your franchisees during the pandemic? Like, how did you assist them? How were you helping them? That was a question I asked a lot. Other things that I look for, making sure that franchise systems don't have litigation, that they're not mired in litigation. That's super important. Are they with private equity? And how long have they been with private equity? That's another question that I talk about often. You and I spoke about that not too long ago. I talk about what's different, what makes them unique, what sets them apart. And it can't just be marketing mumbo jumbo. Like, it has to be real. Like, what is it? And with line painting, understanding that you found a niche that no one else was serving, that you went for that. And it's like, aha. That's what I'm looking for, like something that no one else is doing. And if you are doing it and you're doing it that much better, why? Why is it so much better? There has to be a story there. There has to be there. I'm very careful in listening and watching and learning and hearing different things. Like, some of my favorite franchisors are those that roll their royalty backward and they reward their franchisees once they hit their revenue targets. I love that. I wish more franchisors did that, but they're not seeing the bigger picture. They're not understanding what that's going to get them. And there can be a contentious relationship between that Z and Zor, that franchisee and that franchisor down the road, when they're writing that check and that royalty check. And they're like, ugh, I could do this myself. Like, why do I have to pay this fee every month? And now I warn all my candidates, don't ever let me hear you say that, because without them, you wouldn't have ever had your business. But there are definitely people that feel that way. But how much better would they feel if that royalty was so much less because they had such a great business that they had built, right? I listen for things like that. And there are very few Zors that they get my gold star, my A++, where I'm like, yes, I love that, right? Because I just sit there wanting to hear different things that they're doing that are not just for the sake of being different, but there's a reason, there's a rationale, and it's working for them. And then, of course, they have to validate well with their owners. You know, you want the owners to be happy. You want the system to be humming and thriving, and you want them to be taking part in everything that a franchise is, where they're giving the marketing and they're giving the proper training and they're doing everything that they've said that they were supposed to be doing, not just, well, we took your money. Thank you. Goodbye. Off you go. Good luck. No. You're in this. Like, that's it. And so when I'm feeling that and when I'm hearing that and it's real, then that endears me to that brand.
Wow. That is so powerful. You just have a way of saying very profound things so casually. I love how you do that. So much wisdom just intertwined with your approach. And clearly you have been doing it a long time and have worked with a lot of folks that have only leveled you up. My gosh, again, I told you guys this was going to be great. How many times am I going to say that? I think we need like a horn for that. I am curious, you know, what does being a third generation entrepreneur, I'm sure you've had moments to think about that. What does it mean to you?
Nick, what it means to me is that America is literally where anything is possible. That's one of the greatest things about our country. We're so divided right now. There's so much going on right now that at the end of the day, you can be here. You can come here from somewhere else, or you can be here and you can do whatever it is that you want to do. And franchising levels that completely for everybody. Doesn't matter what your background is, that you didn't have to go to college, like, doesn't matter, right? Everyone's on an even playing field. And as a woman business owner, on top of that, I came up through manufacturing. My whole background was manufacturing. I never felt like I was on a level playing field until I became a franchise owner. And I suddenly felt like I arrived, these were my peers, like this, we're equals now, right? The system, like we were all equals. I never felt that in my career before. And that was amazing. Like that was just fantastic for me to feel that way. Now being on this side where I get to help others experience that joy and that freedom and that ability to be what they want. I just had a brand new candidate I just met with right before our call today. And he said, you know, he had 36 years with the company. He retired. He's still young. He's like, I'm young. I've got a lot of energy. He goes, I have the itch. He goes, my dad was an entrepreneur. I never saw him work for anybody. And he said, I think it's my turn. And I was like, excellent. Like, that's it, right? That's it. And the fact that I get to sit there and help someone and do that facilitation with someone is a very trusted and is something, is a gift that I do not take for granted ever.
Right. Yeah. It's such a big change, and it's all rooted in folks' whys, right? And of course, you have plenty of owners that franchise partners that have teams, but even that is a part of an empire. And somebody is built up to a point to where they are out of the owner operator, out of semi absentee, and into scaling an empire. That is even rooted in a why that has legacy and empire from all versions of ownership intertwined throughout. And entrepreneurship, it's a lifestyle. It's a big deal. It's folks oftentimes life savings. And you had stated it beautifully, right? When you became the first franchise partner, you bled that brand. And that is much more than, that's up there with marriage, right? So I admire you for what you do, and I admire you for your expertise. I admire you for your approach. Thank you for being such an inspiration and for helping so many folks find business ownership through franchising. My gosh, like any other space, franchising is constantly adapting and evolving. What are some trends that you've noticed, and how are you preparing yourself for some of those trends that are happening in the space?
One of the trends that I do not like is this whole semi-passive world that we've become ensconced in, where I've got someone who, they don't want to leave their corporate job. They want to dip their little toe into owning a business. And they're being told that, yeah, they can definitely do it and they can have their cake and they can eat it too. I am totally against that, Nick, because I just feel that, and I tell my candidates this, I'm like, you want to get in there. You want to immerse yourself. You want to bleed for this business, right? You want to have stake in the game. And if you don't do all of that, you're not going to have the business that you expect. You're not going to ever grow to the level that you want to grow, because you're going to be stuck with fear. There's never going to be a good time for you to leave that, those trappings and those benefits and that salary and all of that. There's just never going to be a time. And even more important, you can't replicate you. You're not going to ever have someone that's going to be as passionate about it as you are and that cares about it, right? Trying to tell people, because it's all came because of TikTok. I don't even know what happened, but it's not real. And there are people that are able to do it, but they've got deep, deep, deep pockets that they can sit there and stumble and it does not matter. They just flick it right off their shoulder. Regular, common, normal people, average Joe people, they can't afford to make that kind of stumble. They can't afford to make those kind of mistakes. That's a trend that I'm bucking against with all of my heart, because you've got to set your culture. Like, you're all about culture. That's your whole thing with line painting, right? You've got to set your culture with your employees and with your staff, with your clientele. You've got to be the face of it. I just posted last week that I was going to bed, and on my LinkedIn was one of my clients, and she was at a national night out with a table with her franchise stuff all on it. And I was like, yes, this is what you need to do. You need to be out there doing this and being out there, really working against that trend and counseling people. That's not something that most people can afford to do, is really important. And that goes along with that responsible franchising that you mentioned earlier. The other trends of AI, and how is AI going to affect franchising? And is it going to be a benefit? Is it going to be a loss? Trying to understand that. The medical space has really blown up in the franchise world. And it's complicated. It's state by state complicated with what's required for insurance and where. It's a great space, but it's complex. Trying to understand that, navigate that, that's a trend. What's another trend that I would mention? I would say trending on the areas like home services went to such a climb during the pandemic. And now we're seeing that it's coming down a bit. It's not going to level down. It hit this peak and now it's just, it was at a really big high. But everyone around me all over the place, they're still getting work done, right? And I just was talking to an insurance agent yesterday that anyone that has a home, if they go to sell their house, they have to replace their roof if it's 15 years or older. Everyone. It's an insurance. And that's not state by state. That's nationwide. That's a trend. What's happening because of insurance regulations? Staying on top of all that, understanding it, watching the economy, watching how things are going to affect and take away or change or have a negative outcome on business ownership in some aspect. All of that, staying on top of all of that, that's what we're doing here. And I know you're doing the exact same thing.
What are your thoughts on being an election year, being 2024 and an election year?
What are my thoughts? I had one of my clients just told me that they're putting a pause because they're nervous about the election. So that just came up. But we know that that's also fear. We know that. I think that no matter what happens with the election, things keep on humming. Services are still needed. Life goes on. You might not like it, whatever way it goes, but things still go on. I remember that happening 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Every 4 years, I had clients that, you know, it was the pandemic, new election. We're still here. We're still moving along. That's just an excuse of fear. I think that there could be one way or the other, there could be some effect on business. We don't know what that is. We don't have a crystal ball. From everything that I read, talk to people that are in the know, in the financial industry, we've landed. We've hit our soft landing through a recession, through inflation. We're on the other side. And that I feel very strong about. And I think that we are. And I don't think that the election is going to upend that. I think that we're on the other side and now we're just going to move through it. What comes 6 months from that we don't know, skirmishes around the world, like you don't know how any of that's going to have impact. But I think that we're in a much better place and we're just going to keep getting better. That's my optimistic view on it.
Right.
The sky is not going to fall, I guess would be my message.
Yeah, I totally agree. And even when it is falling, as an entrepreneur,
you adapt.
Yeah, that thing, fear and navigating it. Hello again, my friend. Yeah, sometimes the economy can create opportunities, create change, you name it, but I want to transition. Speaking of trends, there has been a trend in 2024 of a topic called responsible franchising. I would love to get your thoughts.
Do we have a whole nother hour, Nick? Responsible franchising. Yeah. I tell my candidates, listen, there's good and bad in every industry. I don't care what industry, there's good and bad. Franchising is no exception. And when franchising is done well, it's amazing. When it's not done well, it is soul-sucking, life-obliterating, right? And you've got people out there that are not doing the right thing and they leave a wake of destruction behind them. And it happens. And that's why it's that much more important when people are trying to make this kind of decision to work with an advisor instead of trying to figure it out themselves. That's, like, I think, really important. To do validation, speak to as many owners as you can, and not just the ones that the franchisor gives you. Speak to several others, right? 3, work with a franchise attorney, because you don't know what this document means. You don't know. This is a 200 plus page document. Then you have the franchise agreement on top of that. This is a really, really dense thing that you need to understand what all of your obligations are that are inside of that and what is obligated to you. Both ways. It goes both ways. And if you just go, oh, they said they can't make any changes, there's no reason for me to get an attorney. No, you need to understand this and you need to know it. One of the things that I'm very unhappy about right now is that some franchisors are putting a non-disparagement clause in a franchise agreement, which means that you cannot speak negatively about the franchise. And it is trickling down into the validation process because franchisees are worried that that franchisor could come after them if it turns out that they said something negative. And that is not acceptable. It's not acceptable. The franchisee needs to be free to be able to say what's on their mind about that franchise. They have to, for good or for not, right? And if they're being muzzled in any way, that is not that now you've now hurt that process. And now it's not a genuine process for the client to go through and make an educated decision, right? Things like that are not good. Overselling, when people are just overselling and they don't have the capacity to onboard them once they come on board, they get them in. But now what? Now what are you going to do? You have to sit there and treat every single one like it was your first and help them and get them up and running and be successful. And the more that we're skirting away from that, the worse that it's making my job, the harder it's going to be for you, the harder it's going to be for everybody. And as much as people don't want government intruding, they're going to have no choice because as the lawsuits mount, they're going to set their radar on us. And that's it. Just telling people to remember what franchising is all about and doing it the right way and remember that you're playing with people's lives and do the right thing. That's it. Do the right thing and then the rest will come. The rest will come. You'll have a great system. One day you want to go sell it to private equity, off you go, but do the right things. And that's the part that we need to make sure is happening. And we should all be championing for that day in and day out.
Yeah, franchising is such an incredible scaling method, right? It brings collective talent together to create real value in the market and to do that quickly. And that is good for a lot of reasons and will continue to be great for a lot of reasons. I wanted to get your thoughts, Lisa, on just from your perspective, have you noticed franchising growing? Obviously, during COVID, it really exploded. And I'd say probably for a couple of decades, it's just been on an incredible tear of growth. And, you know, does franchising hit this point of inflection where business ownership is easily accessible and a household name? Is the scaling tool, the scaling industry, is it on the precipice and is it already at a point of scaling where it's creating a lot of value in people's lives and it's easily accessible? What are your thoughts on how the franchise industry has grown?
During the pandemic, the Small Business Administration shattered records every year with applications. I forget what the numbers were, but it was like 4.5 million, then it went to 5 million, then went to 5.5 million. I mean, the numbers were just incredible. Because people took reassessment of their lives. They realized what they wanted. They more importantly realized what they didn't want. There's been, I think it hasn't been a massive slowdown on it, but just like what we talked about with the home services, you hit this massive peak and now it's just, we're just up in this new stratosphere, right? You're just up in this new stratosphere with it.
Just wait till the election year. You know, it's going to be bonkers. on the backside.
Yeah. I don't see it ebbing. I don't see it going down as long as what we talked about, that people are doing what they're supposed to be doing and they're doing it well. And then Absolutely. If that continues on that trajectory, there's no stopping it. Like there's nothing. And then little me from years ago, when they asked me if I wanted a franchise, you're not going to get that wrinkle in the nose. You're not going to get that. I don't know anyone that doesn't own a franchise, because you will know. You Absolutely. Will know people that own a franchise, and you'll Absolutely. Know members of your family, or you'll know neighbors, or you'll know somebody in your life. And it isn't just this thing that is just for the big level investors, because that's right. how franchising used to be, really.
Right.
It was really for those big investors. And then it changed and it started being for the regular everyday person more and more. And I'm all in favor of that. Let it continue to be. Let it continue to be for women. Let more women come into this. Let veterans, franchising and veterans, go hand in hand. Let more veterans who don't have a place in corporate America, they can't find that comfortable space, let more of them come in there. Let people of color. There's no end. I know just from the Hispanic side of the growth, that where they want to see people that are Spanish culture who own tons of businesses out there, they're not in the franchise world. Why? And let them franchise their business and let them start coming into this space, right? So when you just think about it from that standpoint, you're like, whoa, like we're just getting started. That's how I feel. Yeah. We're just getting started.
Absolutely. Have you seen the international trends with franchising and growth internationally?
Yes. And Saudi Arabia now has become a big hub for franchising. Who knew? Who knew that that would become a thing? But yeah, the global impact of it, because people get that it's a great way to get that business up and running quickly. You don't have it all of that money on your back. Someone else is investing. It's a smart way to do business. Yeah, I do think that it's just the start.
Just getting started. I can't take credit for responsible franchising, but my thoughts have been that it's an indication of exactly what we're talking about, right? Because the number one indicator of franchise success, regardless of anybody in the industry, whether it's a franchisor, a franchise partner, a buyer, a vendor, you name it, the entire industry is standing on these lives that are being changed and transformed and leveled up. And you know, that is all done through profitability. And I look at responsible franchising as an emphasis on that, protecting franchise owner profitability. That creates a healthy brand. Healthy brands create healthy opportunities. And ultimately, protecting that, I think if it's that on a practical standpoint, that is, hey, when you hear from your friends that got into business through the franchise model, you know, your friend is saying like, look, it wasn't easy. We had to make changes, but we doubled down. We bled the brand. We did the lifestyle. We executed on the way. We leaned into support. We did it. And as a result, like you said earlier, Lisa, it provides you an opportunity to work on the business. And that is the American dream. Your friend says, hey, it wasn't easy, but it changed our life. And that's why you see this and you see that. But it's kind of an interesting point, because as you're working to get there, your friends are also saying, hey, we're going on a vacation. Hey, why are you sacrificing your extra time? What is this whole side hustle thing? What is this business? What's going on? It's different. And then the script flips. And more of those stories being told, an emphasis on profitability compounds those stories. And as a result, the industry only grows that much faster. When I think about it, I think that it's a healthy, organic, strategic movement to improve the ability to provide business ownership more easily to the everyday American that would love the freedom, the independence, the alignment with their lifestyle. You think it's just Burger King and McDonald's, but when you start learning about all these awesome businesses and different nuances that align with your skill sets. You don't even have any idea what you could be doing from an entrepreneurship standpoint until you just start looking at those 4,000 brands. And Lisa, again, thank you so much for everything you do in the industry. Obviously, there are a lot of moving parts, but when you're looking for somebody that's been there, done it, and clearly does it from a heart-led perspective and understands what entrepreneurship is all about, what building a legacy is all about, and breaking barriers and stepping into opportunities when, my gosh, in 2020, when the world is falling apart. Again, Lisa, your story, so inspirational, but thank you for making the time to come onto the show and inspire us, help us level up. I'm sure folks would like to reach out to you. If they would like to do so, how can they get in touch with you?
All of my social media is at Milestone Franchising. You can find me there. I have my QR code there as well that can be screened. And Nick, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for such a great conversation today. Very real. Really appreciate that as well.
Absolutely. My goodness, I certainly leveled up on this episode. If you have, please subscribe to the show, hit the like button, but most importantly, contribute, drop a comment down below. And as always, level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.